Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 41 to 59 as we continue to go verse by verse through the Gospel of John. And as you know, we're making our way through the book of Numbers on Wednesdays and just going through the Word of God. And Father, we are so thankful that you gave us this book for us to go through. And Lord, as we're going through, we pray that your Word will go through us, search us and know us, and see if there's any wicked way in us, and lead us to the way everlasting like your Word says. And so, Lord, speak into our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. John 6, looking at verses 41 to 59, the title of this message is Bread That Satisfies Part 3. Bread That Satisfies Part 3. Now, in this chapter, we have been studying what Jesus has been saying to the crowd that he fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He told them in verse 26, he says, "You seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and are filled." Or he was saying, you're only seeking me for what you can get from me. And so many people only seek God for what they can get from him, not seeking him for who he is or that he's worthy to be sought, but they're seeking him to get something from him. And Jesus was pointing this out. He said, you only sought me because your stomachs were growling, you were hungry, and I filled your stomachs. Now you're coming after me again because you're hungry again. He said, you missed the point of the signs, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, how I multiplied that to feed close to 20,000 people. You missed the whole purpose of that. You're only coming after me because your stomachs are hungry again. This is why he said, do not labor for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to everlasting life. They responded in verse 31, says, our fathers ate of the manna in the desert. So what are you going to do for us? Jesus responded in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. And we left off in verse 40 with Jesus saying, everyone who sees the Son and believes in him has everlasting life. And now we pick up the conversation in verse 41. Look what it says there in verses 41 to 43. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I've come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Now, the Jews in verse 41 is a reference to the religious leaders throughout the Gospel of John and not to the entire Jewish race. So the religious leaders complained that Jesus would dare say that he was the bread that came down from heaven. The Greek verb for complain in the Greek is gaguzo, and it means to grumble. Muttered complaints and whispers of displeasure. The religious leaders were outraged that Jesus said that he came down from heaven. So they murmured against him. In Exodus 16 verses 2 and 3, when the manna was given, the people murmured and complained. In the very next chapter in Exodus 17 verse 3, when they were thirsty, they murmured and complained again. Murmuring is a quiet complaining under the breath. And now in these verses, when Jesus said he was the manna that came down from heaven, they murmured and complained again. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, do not murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. And this is a warning to us as well, because all of us murmur and complain. We quietly murmur about the house we live in, the car we drive, the spouse we have, the boss we work for. We murmur and complain about the salary we make. And it goes on and on and on, murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. And it says, do not murmur as some of them also did, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, the destroyer is making reference to the angel in Moses' day that killed the firstborn Egyptians that Exodus 12, verse 29 talks about. The destroyer is also the one who killed 70,000 people in David's day as a form of judgment that 2 Samuel 24 verse 15 talks about. The destroyer is also the angel that in one night killed 185,000 Assyrians that 2 Kings 19:35 points out. Now here's my point. Don't allow murmuring to destroy your life either. Philippians 2 verses 14 and 15 says, do all things without murmuring and complaining that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked. You see the word crooked there? In the Greek is where we get our English word scoliosis from, which is the curvature of the spine. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, if we're murmuring and complaining, we are giving the enemies of God a chance to speak evil about the things of God. We're supposed to shine as lights without fault in the midst of those around us. And we cannot shine as lights without fault in this world if we are constantly murmuring and complaining about everything and everyone, just like everyone else is doing. We're supposed to be different. And so these people were murmuring in Jesus's day. Verse 42 gives us insights into why they rejected what Jesus said, that he was the bread that came down from heaven, because they only looked at Jesus from a human perspective, only as the son of Joseph. They said, we know him. I mean, he's the son of Joseph. We know his mother. We saw him grow up on the next street. So how can he say he came down from heaven? We know him. We saw you grow up. What is this stuff? This is why they were outraged that Jesus would dare say that he came down from heaven when we just saw him playing in his daddy's carpenter shop on the next street growing up. We know his mother and his father. And all of a sudden, Jesus said in verse 43, do not murmur among yourselves. He said this because he was showing that they had hardened their hearts against him. And it showed by how they rejected that he came down from heaven. Look at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this is a very sobering verse because it shows our utter helplessness and inability to come to Jesus apart from God the Father drawing us. The Greek word for draws is helkuo. When it's used literally, it means to draw or to tug. But when it's used figuratively, it means to compel. It almost always implies some kind of resistance. In other words, it means that God is drawing mankind to Jesus Christ, although by nature we resist and prefer to sin. And maybe you're here and I just described you. Maybe you're here and you've been sensing that Jesus has been drawing you to himself, but you've been resisting lately, preferring to sin. And I'm pleading with you to stop resisting and surrender your life to Jesus Christ while there's still time, while you still have breath in your lungs. Why? Because Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit, God speaking, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Meaning, if a person keeps resisting the tugging, the pulling, the compelling, the drawing God upon his heart, then there could come a day that you will wake up and you don't sense that drawing any longer. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And so respond today while you still sense that drawing to Jesus Christ. Don't believe and buy into the lie that, oh, I have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. You can't do it yesterday. That's gone. This is why the Bible constantly exhorts us today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's why he says all you have today is the day of salvation, is what the Bible teaches. Look at verse 45. It says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. I love this verse right here. Because in this verse, we see how God the Father draws people to Jesus Christ. We saw in verse 44, it says, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Okay, well, how does God, the Father, draw people to Jesus Christ? It is through the divine scriptures being taught. Jesus quotes from Isaiah 54, verse 13, and confirms that God draws people to Jesus when they have heard and learned. This is why we teach the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, because the entire Bible speaks of Jesus Christ from cover to cover. Hebrews 10:7 says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. God uses the Bible being taught to draw people to Jesus Christ. It is the teaching of the Word of God that is the greatest need in the church today. We have been preached to death. We need to be taught. This is why when Moses went up on top of the mountain and got the Ten Commandments, God said, now go down there and teach these to the people. It's the teaching of the Word of God that God uses to draw people to the Lord. I can stand up here and I can entertain you to death. I can get up here and I can hoop and holler and just say some nice colorful things and make it very dynamic, and all I will be is a motivational speaker. But you wouldn't be drawn to Jesus Christ no more than anybody else standing up here. What draws you to the Lord is when the divine scriptures are being taught. And this is why we teach from Genesis to Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. And you constantly hear the divine scriptures being taught. You're drawn to the Lord, because this is the instrument by which he uses to draw people to Jesus. The teaching of the Word of God. You talk to pastors today and say, well, do you teach the entire Bible? They say, yes, we teach the Bible. We're a church. What do you think? And I say, I didn't ask you if you taught the Bible. I hope you would. But do you teach all of the Bible? No, we don't do that. It is the teaching. It's when they have heard and learned. This is why Satan, after people have heard the word, the Bible says, if they don't understand, Satan comes and snatches the seed of the Word of God before it can take root in people's hearts. This is why we want to teach it and make it plain for you so you can understand. Because if you walk out of here and you didn't understand what was said, Satan comes and snatches that away before you can believe it. And this is why it is the teaching of the divine scriptures after they have heard and learned, that is the instrument he draws people to the Lord. Look at verses 46 to 48. It says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Now in verse 46, Jesus is saying that he is the only one who's qualified to speak of God the Father, because he is the only one who has seen the Father. And he restates in verse 47 what he said in verses 27 and verse 40, that he who believes in him has everlasting life. Now, the phrase he who believes in Greek is in the present tense, ho mysterion, and it stresses a continuing necessity of faith and not a one-time event. It is a lifetime of faith. See, and many people miss this. They think because they might have come up and said a prayer one time, that's all it took. It's in the present tense. It's a continual thing. It's not a one-time thing. It's a necessity, a continual necessity of faith. And not just a one-time event. It's a lifetime of faith. In verse 48, Jesus reiterates what he said in verse 35. He says, I'm the bread of life. In other words, I'm the one who sustains you spiritually, just like bread sustains you physically. Look at verses 49 and 50. It says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Now, in these verses, Jesus is contrasting him being the bread of life and the manna that the Israelites ate while they were in the desert. While that manna sustained them physically, they eventually died. Jesus is saying, if you eat of me, the bread that came down from heaven, you will not die spiritually. The phrase came down in verse 50 is in the present active tense, katabaon, and it means it keeps coming down. In other words, it reflects the continual availability of Jesus, the bread from heaven. This means we can keep eating of Jesus, the bread that came down from heaven. We can't eat him up because the present tense of katabaon, it means it keeps coming down. The more you eat, the more it keeps coming down. We can't use Jesus up. There's an endless supply of Jesus, the bread of life, that keeps coming to us. And we can't use him up. Look what he says in verse 51. It says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus summarizes in this verse what he's been saying, that he is the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. But Jesus adds one new element to the conversation when he said at the end of verse 51, the bread that I give, notice, is my flesh. And there are some scholars who try to say that this verse is referring to the Lord's Supper or communion, but it doesn't. The regular use of the word body in Greek is soma, but this Greek word is for flesh is sarx, and it refers to flesh, or it means death. It speaks of Jesus giving his life voluntarily on the cross for our sin. And the phrase, I shall give, speaks to this fact, that it was a voluntary thing. That's why Jesus said later on, no man take my life, but I lay it down. And he gave his life for the entire world. Now, how did the people respond to what Jesus said? Look at verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Jews are the religious leaders. When they heard Jesus say that his flesh was the bread that came, that they were to eat, they quarreled among themselves. Well, that Greek word for quarreled is makamei, and it is a strong verb that means to fight or to battle. This same Greek word is used in Acts 7 verse 26, and it's used to describe hand-to-hand combat. The Jews were seriously offended at the very thought of eating the flesh of Jesus. Even in the liberal Greco-Roman Empire, their culture of the day frowned upon cannibalism. And it's obvious that they misunderstood what Jesus was saying, and this led to their quarrel, their fight. They misunderstood. I mean, Jesus wasn't talking about eating of his flesh. He wasn't talking about he was going to take off a finger and let them gnaw on it, or poke a hole in his side and let blood come out, and they get a cup and they each take a sip of it. That's not what he's talking about. Obviously, they misunderstood what Jesus was saying, and this led to a fight. Oh, how many couples have been in fights because of a misunderstanding of what was said. And all of a sudden, but this is what I meant, but that's not what you said. And a fight. And a quarrel has started because of a misunderstanding. Fights and quarrels between parent and children. Well, I did what you told me to do. You know that's not what I meant. And a fight and a quarrel because of a misunderstanding. So to it here, they misunderstood what Jesus was saying, and this led to a fight and a quarrel. Well, this is what, that's not what he meant, but that's what he said. And you know, and all of a sudden, come here and put each other in the headlock and fighting. All over a misunderstanding. And I wonder how many fights in homes because of a misunderstanding. This is why communication is the number one problem. Well, I would say 1B. 1A is finances. 1B is a misunderstanding, communication. And here it is. They misunderstood, obviously misunderstood, and it led to a quarrel, to a fight. Look at verses 53 and 54. It says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now, in these verses, Jesus once again starts off with, most assuredly, I say unto you. You remember we mentioned every time Jesus starts off with, most assuredly, I say unto you, or truly, truly, he is about to introduce an important truth he wants his hearers to grasp. Now, Jesus is drawing the line in the sand and goes more in detail to what he previously said, which angered them even more. He said in verse 53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and then he adds, drinks his blood, you will have no life in you. So only those who eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood have eternal life and will be raised up the last day. Oh, he's about to expound and add a little bit more to this in verses 55 and 56. He says, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Now, in these verses, Jesus continues to expound on the subject that his flesh is food and his blood is drink. And he adds in verse 56, he who eats his flesh and drinks his blood abides in me. John loves to use this word abide in his writings. You know, he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. This word abide is used 70 times in his writings. He loves this word, and it means to be at home with or an inward enduring personal communion. Now, keep in mind that the eating and drinking is also in the present tense, which speaks of a continuing quality. Keep on eating, keep on drinking, not a one-time occurrence. It means a continual action. And the question we have to ask ourselves and search our own hearts about is, are we constantly and continuously eating and drinking of Jesus? Or do we only eat and drink of him when we come to church, whenever that is? For Jesus to abide or to be at home in our lives, we must constantly and continuously eat and drink of Jesus Christ through his word. It reminds me of Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. He was told to eat the scroll of the word of God, and he said that it was sweet in his mouth like honey. When was the last time you ate the scroll of the word of God? When you do, you will find what Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you eat of Jesus and his word, what happens is you end up wanting more and more. And maybe you're here and you have stopped eating of Jesus Christ. Other things and people have stripped you of your appetite of Jesus. Start back eating of him and you will find your appetite for Jesus will return. I've seen so many people on fire for the Lord, just really taking it in, you know, come to church and, you know, and got their notebook, taking notes, just all in and just really just going for it. And all of a sudden, they get into some new relationship, some new job position that they swear up and down it's from the Lord. And all of a sudden, you find them stripped of their hunger and appetite for Jesus. And I'm seeing them that they used to be on fire. They had their notebook. They were right there taking notes. They engaged. Now you see them come, arm up on the seat, just kind of looking. And then they come up to me, hey, Pastor Dunn, this is my new friend. I'm like, are you kidding me? You can always tell if a relationship or a job or position is really from the Lord. It doesn't rob you of your appetite for spiritual things. Does it take your spiritual appetite away where you no longer are hungry for Jesus Christ and the things of God? That's how you know whether a relationship, a job, a position, whatever you swear or try to cover up and say it's from the Lord, you know it's from the Lord because all you got to do is just gauge your hunger. Gauge whether you are still hungry for the things of God, or all you got to do is gauge your appetite. That's all you got to do. And you would know whether that thing, that position, that job that you swear are the blessings of the Lord is really the blessings of the Lord. Has it robbed you of your desire of spiritual things? You look at yourself now and look at yourself where you used to be spiritually. And if you can say that, well, you know, things kind of did go go south a little bit, you know that thing cannot be from the Lord. Why would God give you a thing, a position, a job, a person that will cause you to fall away from him? Why would God do that? And we need to stop lying on the Lord and say, the Lord gave me this and the Lord gave me that, when all the time that was you. That was you that did that. You and your ambition and all that kind of stuff went after this thing. And now that you got it, now you're going to say the blessings of the Lord. And you have no desire for spiritual things. You come to church now out of just, you know, it's a little habit that you do. There's no pressing into the presence of God. You come and come, mama wanted you to come. Or you come in because your girlfriend wanted you here. Or you come because you don't want your conscience to beat up on you any longer. And that appetite of the Lord, that hunger for Jesus isn't there. And you know it isn't there. But now you feel that, what can I do? I'm just so deep in it. I can't. There's, the Bible says God always make a way of an escape so we can bear it. He always makes a way of an escape. He always, but if I go back, well then I won't have that position. I won't have that extra money. All it was a 50 cent an hour. Are you kidding me? I mean, 50 cent, a dollar an hour? I don't care if it's $10 an hour. Is your spiritual life worth it? Is it worth it? And for some people, it's not. So they'd rather just go on into mediocrity. It's just something, a shell of what you used to be. I've seen people like this all the time. Come through the door, and over the years, things and people robbed them of their appetite for Jesus. And they're no longer pressing in. No longer. Like a ship that has drifted from the harbor, the safety of the harbor. I've just seen it happen in too many people's lives. We should be constantly eating and drinking of Jesus, because the more you do, the more of a hunger you would have. Look at verses 57 to 59. It says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate of the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now Jesus is reiterating what he has been telling them the whole time. Now notice how Jesus calls the Father the living Father in verse 57. This is the only place in the New Testament that this term is used. It speaks of how God the Father is not dead. And it speaks of how true life is only in him. He is the source of life. In other words, you have not started to live until you have a relationship with this living Father through Jesus Christ. This is why he is called the living God, because true life is in him. Many people think, I'm alive. Oh, you can be alive physically, but dead spiritually. The true life is only in a relationship with the living Father through Jesus Christ. And then verse 59 gives us the location where this conversation took place, in the synagogue as Jesus taught in Capernaum. As he was teaching in the city of Capernaum, you know, he was teaching some things. These guys start engaging him, and that's where this whole conversation. So verse 59 gives us the location of what took place. And God's will, the rest of this conversation, we'll finish up God's will next week. Let me conclude with this. In these verses, we saw that the religious leaders murmured and complained about what Jesus said. The question you have to search your heart with is, are you murmuring and complaining about what Jesus said to you? If so, then you need to repent and ask for forgiveness, because when we murmur and complain about our lives, the people in our lives, and about our circumstances, we're ultimately complaining against God, who's allowed these things in our life. The Bible said the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. So God allowed these things in our lives, or he's allowed the consequences of these stupid things we do to occur in our lives. Well, you don't know. You know, man, what you talking about? That's my wife, I tell you, boy. God allowed her in my life? Huh. Don't blame that on God. The Bible says if a man finds a wife, you found her. So you got to take some responsibility for that. You found her, and you had to have her. Now you got her. Amen. And keep in mind, she got you. You no prize either. Just know that. You ain't all that. Just keep in mind, you think you the big prize, you can complain about her. You not all that either. And a bag of chips. You ain't no chips. You ain't even all that. We ain't gonna add chips to it. And so these things, when we ultimately complain, we're ultimately complaining against the Lord. And we saw that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Let me ask you this. Do you sense God drawing you to Jesus Christ? Then come while you sense him drawing you and repent of your sins, because woe be it to the person who wakes up and no longer senses God drawing them to Jesus Christ. Oh, woe to that person. So you don't want that to happen to you, so you want to respond while you can. Finally, are you constantly eating and drinking of Jesus Christ, or has something or someone stolen your appetite? Remember, Jesus said, he who constantly eats and drinks of him has eternal life. And this eternal life can be yours. If you come to Jesus today and eat of him, because he is the true bread that satisfies the hunger of our souls. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time you've given us to study your word. Lord, we've heard your heart, and now I pray that we'll respond to you. Lord, you've been drawing people to you today, and I pray that they'll respond. Even though they're resisting right now, Lord, preferring to sin, I pray that, Lord, that they will respond to you, that they will stop the resisting and come to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for your people who've been complaining and murmuring about all kinds of things. Lord, I pray that they'll repent of this attitude, because you want us to be children of God who shine as lights in this world. And we can't shine as lights, Lord, as we're murmuring and complaining like everyone else is. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.